coming to you with words and teaching that will change your life forever.
All things that you will ever need in your life, they're wrapped up in the Word. Go for the Word. You need to understand this thing. And when you get a hold of it, keep saying it. Don't stop talking it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. The Bible says in the city of Ephesus, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Can you shout amen?
I'm set on the course that I must follow.
In the name of Jesus, prosperity is mine. In the name of Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul.
Yay! Pastor Chris, we're hearing.
This is the continuation of the message, How to Take Possession of What Belongs to You.
Hallelujah.
Coming to you with words and teaching that will change your life forever.
All things that you will ever need in your life, they're wrapped up in the Word. Go for the Word. You need to understand this thing. And when you get a hold of it, keep saying it. Don't stop talking it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. The Bible says in the city of Ephesus, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Can you shout amen?
I'm set on the course that I must follow.
In the name of Jesus, prosperity is mine. In the name of Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul.
Yay! Pastor Chris, we're hearing.
Hallelujah. So we dealt with several things on Wednesday. We mentioned a few things, and one of the last things we talked about was the fact that when God gave the children of Israel the promised land, He gave it to them with giants in it. He didn't give them a land that was free of trouble. He gave them a land flowing with milk and honey, all right, full of prosperity, but with giants inside. And it was up to them to trust His word and overcome and drive out the giants. And we talked about Caleb, who was full of faith and, like the Bible says, who had a different spirit. And at the age of 85, he said to Joshua, remember that God made a promise through Moses to give me Hebron. And Hebron was full of giants. And he said, if the Lord be with me, I will drive out the giants. And he was given Hebron. And the Bible tells us, that 15th chapter of the book of Joshua, that he drove out the giants. Praise God. He drove out the giants. He said, if the Lord be with me, and that was all he needed, that God would be with him. He said, I will be able to drive out the giants. He didn't even ask for help. He said, I will be able to drive out the giants. Then he said, now therefore give me this mountain, a mountain full of giants. Praise God. Now that's the mentality that we ought to have. That's the way we are. We're born in that family a family of faith. That's where we belong. Did you know if a child grew up among apes, he would believe he's an ape? If he grew up among monkeys, even without a tail, he'll believe he's a monkey. If you grow up among negative thinkers, negative talkers, you'd be that way. Negativism is acquired. And we acquire it from our environment, from those with whom we deal on a daily basis. So it matters where your spiritual environment is. You know, we talked about Wednesday night how that Moses did send out 12 spies, and 10 of them said, we cannot take the place, we cannot take the land, it's full of giants, we can't. He said the giants are so big, and we were before them as grasshoppers. And even when we looked at ourselves, we were as grasshoppers before them. So they said, so let's get out of here, we can't take it. But only two of them stood out and said, look, we can. The giants will be bread for us. They said, let's go up at once. Oh, I like the communication. Let's go up at once. Let's go now. In most families, children are brought up with the mentality of failure. They're told all the time they can't. They're told all the time how bad they are, how foolish they are, how stupid they are. Because you know, it's easier to learn the curses than the blessings. When I was a little boy, I traveled around with my dad to several cities because he was transferred almost every year. For my primary school, I attended 9 primary schools. 9. Before I finished primary 6, 9 primary schools. Moving around with him all the time. And in many of those places we went to, I learned the abuses first in school. The abusive words in their language. They're the words I learned first, because they were the things I heard first in school. It's just the way people are. They learn the negative life first. So we respond to fear first, before we ever hear anything about faith, because most of us didn't grow up in an environment of faith. So even sometimes, some of the things I share are even hard for many pastors, ministers. Hard. Because they grew up in an environment of unbelief and fear and doubt and poverty and negativism. Such that even those who grew up in well-to-do families were so negative and fearful in their lives, they eventually lost everything they had. Well, well, well. Glory to God. Are you still here? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. In Hebrews, book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the first verse. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Say it with me. Faith is what?
Faith.
It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is giving substance to things hoped for. It is the evidence of the unseen. Now, the Amplified Version gives it this way. Well, what we just quoted together was mostly from the King James Version. I know most of you have the King James Version. All right. From the Amplified, it says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. A conviction of their reality. Hallelujah. That's remarkable. Remarkable. Another version. Now, faith is a well-grounded assurance of that for which we hope, and a conviction of the reality of things we do not see. It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is there. The confident assurance that what we hope for is there. And the conviction that what we do not see is real. You know, it's easy for people to believe in the past and believe in the future and have problems with today. All right? Jesus died for me. Praise the Lord. They believe that. I mean, there are people who are ready to die for that. They'll stake their lives on that. I believe. I know. I'm confident Jesus died for me. When? Almost 2,000 years ago. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He does believe that. Hallelujah.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him, and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah. For prayer and counseling, or to share your testimony with us, please call 0902-969-2794 or participate in our online church at www.cebeninzone1.org on Sundays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Or send an email to lwrtransmissions@gmail.com. God bless you.